0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another big weekend across Scottish football. Brendan Rodgers says he doesn't care about the narrative surrounding Celtic and thinks their good results are being overlooked. Philippe Clement says he's not looking at goal difference yet but does want his team to always rack up as many as possible. And Neil Warnock makes his first Aberdeen signing after securing a move for Junior Hoylett. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
So far as Celtic are concerned, one defeat to Kilmarnock is unfortunate. Two defeats to Kilmarnock is careless. Three defeats to Kilmarnock in the same season, well, you deserve all you get. And it could seriously dent Celtic's championship title race if they do that tomorrow and lose for a third time this season to Derek McInnes's side. That's not a narrative. Those are the facts of the matter. And then on Sunday, Rangers go to play a team who are third bottom of the league table, who were so bad against Dundee while losing last Saturday that the St Johnstone manager, Craig Levein, had to issue an apology to the fans afterwards. So we'll just call that an away win for Philippe Clement.
Cammy, this was the week that the title race became whatever more than on is. It was already on. It's been on for a while. Maybe it's stuck on. I think we could go for that because this was the week we waited. Rangers game in hand. They won it. Level on points. Celtic with the narrow advantage. And on we go for more fun and games this weekend.
Yeah, this is what we've been waiting for, is the sort of games played, even levelling up with each other and obviously points as well. So, no, listen, for me, the momentum's with Rangers, the way that they're playing at the moment, the buzz around the stadium, the fans are with them. But Celtic have got that opportunity tomorrow to put the pressure back on Rangers and get 3 points ahead of them.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, so please come on down. What are you thinking ahead of this weekend? If you want to just talk pure football, the games themselves, your chances of winning or losing them, who you should pick, who you shouldn't pick, we are here for that. In terms of the bigger picture, it has been pretty much about that title race all week. So how are you both feeling, both sets of fans in Glasgow, for Glasgow's big two, I should say, heading in to this weekend? You've had your issues against Kilmarnock this season, Celtic fans. Will it be the same tomorrow? Or do you buy into what Brendan Rodgers is saying? Is there too much negativity? Are people overlooking the good run of results that you are on? How do you see it going this weekend? It looks like there'll still be no Liel Abada for the time being there as well. A bit early for Alistair Johnson and Cameron Carter-Vickers, but Greg Taylor back in about it at the moment there. As for you Rangers fans, this was the week we got obsessed about goal difference, but Philippe Clement says it's too early for that. He just wants to score as many as possible every game and then assess it maybe on the final day of the season. How are you feeling heading in to the weekend? A trip to St Johnstone, of course, there as well. We've got big games across the Championship tonight and tomorrow. Massive fixtures. I look at you, Motherwell and Aberdeen fans. You've had quite a week, and Aberdeen have even gone and made a new signing as well. See, this is where I'm seeing the similarities.
Yeah.
Men in their 70s, like you and Neil Warnock, don't hang about.
No.
There's just no time for that.
No.
You dive in to football predictions the way he dives in to new signings.
Yeah.
It must be an age thing.
As soon as we get together, I will compliment Neil on his code of conduct. Listen, with regard to Brendan Rodgers, and he is talking about how bizarre this city can be. It has always been this way. This is the world capital of mad. It's getting madder by the day. And I'm afraid that Brendan and Philippe Clement will just have to put up with it. I listened to last night's programme talking about Cyril Dessers and people saying, yeah, he's still not good. What does a guy have to do? He's got 10 league goals so far. He's got 14 goals in all competitions. He took his two goals very well against Ross County in midweek. So, as I say, this is the home of mad, but we can hardly complain because we encourage him.
Great games across the board though, Cammy, when you look at everything that's to come this weekend, and it's, I hope it gets the attention it deserves, because out with the Premiership, we've got some brilliant fixtures in the Championship and beyond, but obviously the top flight does dominate a lot of our thinking. You just look at Livy, you know, another home game. If you're going to make a move, when is it going to be? I think you always look for fixtures like Aberdeen and Hibs. There was a time that it was El Sacchio, of course. It's not quite in that territory with Neil Warnock just in the door. But yeah, lots to look forward to this weekend.
Yeah, massive weekend. And the one you've just touched on there, Aberdeen v Hibs, it's almost, for me, time's running out to get in that top six. There's not many games left. And one of them two have to start to make a move. Hibs have stuttered their way through the season. It's not been a good season for them so far. I don't really think it's clicked under Nick Montgomery yet. Aberdeen have got Neil Warnock, new manager in, so they'll be looking for that bounce going forward. And they've obviously got a big cup game, because Neil Warnock will be looking to try and put his stamp on that Scottish Cup, a big game at home to Kilmarnock. So that's going to be a difficult one. So he'll want some sort of form going into that one.
Right, 01419511025. Come on, it's been all about the title race this week, and it takes its next turn potentially this weekend. So how are you feeling? Do you see both sides continuing to win for the foreseeable? There's a meeting not too far away that's been announced for TV coverage today. Do you expect twists and turns? Do you expect things to stay as they are until then? Give us all your thoughts on that title race on 01419511025. If you want to get more specific about your team, you can do that as well. David is a Celtic fan. David, it's been quite a week. This weekend will be more of the same, I'm sure. How do you feel as a Celtic fan heading into this weekend?
Nervous. So I mean, that's what you want. I mean that's really what my point is that I think that this title race will result next season in a lot more competitive Celtic team in the Champions League if we're in it. Because in previous times, whenever titles went late, there was an intensity that can maybe match what you want in the Champions League, whereby when you're strolling it every year, sometimes I think that might be contributory why Celtic have done so poorly in Europe, because they've not really had like a really intense time domestically. So look, it's 50-50 for me. Do you know what I mean? I think the team that wins the league will probably win all 13 of the remaining games.
Seriously?
I do. I just think that because they've got such a stronger squad, both of them, that you seen it the other night, whenever it gets close, just the fans will push winners over the line. I can see it being similar to Liverpool Man City, whereby it literally will come down to the two games, and then, you know what I mean, it could come down to goal difference.
Well, if it's going to be Celtic's title, that would mean four wins out of four against Rangers by David's theory, which is perfectly possible. I asked for people to say how they think it's going to go from here, Hugh. David, you know, mentioned how close it is and how that can benefit. We had a caller last night who quite rightly pointed out we're not in completely uncharted territory here. You only have to go back to Ange Postecoglou's first season. Uh-huh. But actually, it was tight. It was tight at this time of the year.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe Celtic then just became everybody's favourite straight away once they overtook Rangers, and it never really looked like reversing itself. You wonder how long our status quo will stay, or if one team will manage to pull ahead.
David's talking my type of language. You know, the team will go on and win every game between now and the end of the season.
It's like something you would say.
Yeah, it's like something I would say. And I, what I would say in addition to that is that if you had to have a bet on one of them, my money would be on Rangers to be the one that would go from now to the end of the season undefeated. I am certain that Rangers will beat St Johnstone on Sunday in Perth. I am not certain that Celtic will beat Kilmarnock. There is history, of course. Kilmarnock knocked Celtic out of the Viaplay Cup. They also beat Celtic at Rugby Park in the league on what was a very bad day for Celtic. Now, I know that going into this match,
both at Rugby Park, though.
Yeah. And this is the Celtic Park game. But Celtic, since the winter break ended, not great. And I thought that the cup tie with St Mirren last weekend was a genuine cup tie. Celtic did well. Kyogo's goal, very good. Maeda, sharp as attack in the penalty box. But they came under pressure, and they've owed a lot to Joe Hart of late. And I've been as critical of the goalkeeper as anyone, but Joe Hart has come through since the end of the winter break for Celtic. So that's the kind of knife edge we're on. I think that Rangers are a stick on Sunday, and I'm not 100% certain that Celtic are a stick on tomorrow.
I think you specifically are who Brendan Rodgers is referring to here. He spoke last week about a narrative being built around Celtic. He now says he doesn't care about it but he still thinks their good form is being overlooked.
Probably in any other country, 8 wins out of 9 is actually a very, very good return. But I've been here in Scotland. I know that 8 wins out of 9 is a disaster when you're top of the league. So I just focus on what we need to do. I understand and I get the feeling and I understand that you have to create that. And I understand this city that the two teams can't be doing well. You know, I know you can be, when I was at Liverpool, Liverpool and Everton can be doing well at the same time. But that can't happen here. So one has to be pushed down. And for us, it's us, because we're at the top. And we slipped up in early December. But that narrative has continued right the way through, even though the players have won 8 games, some tough games, and drawn 1 game. I can't control that. What I can control is the mindset of the team, the attitude of the team, and knowing that over this next period of games, we'll be really focused and be really aggressive and attack the game. What everyone else says, writes, I couldn't care less.
I think he is talking about you. The more I listen to you both.
Well, Brendan said it was a disaster. Not a disaster. It's a catastrophe, Brendan. Now, I'll give you another narrative. I was not among the Celtic fans who booed at the end of the Ross County game. I was not the man who unfurled the banner at Pittodrie saying, "On your head be it," to the Celtic board. I was not at Easter Road when Celtic teetered on the brink of losing another 2 points there. So there is another narrative, and Celtic have not been playing that well at all since the end of the winter break. And I repeat, I do understand the city's always been mad and it's getting progressively madder, but there is another narrative in that Celtic at the moment are not as convincing as the team always referred to as the one across the water, across the city, on the other side of the street, near the Bellahouston Hotel, whatever they're called. They're not as convincing, Celtic, as Rangers.
And if this is mad, you are the mayor of Madtown, I suspect. David, where are Celtic at then? You hear Brendan Rodgers there. It was a similar theme to last week, almost a, you know, having a bit of a pop at the doubters, i.e. Hugh Keevans. What do you think? Where are Celtic at the moment?
Look, Celtic have got a young team and a lot of really influential players are sitting there now. And it's right, we're not firing on all cylinders, but you know, I mean, we're winning games just now. I think if we continue to win and then our Carter Vickers, Hatate and Taylor come back into the team to add to it, I think that's what could happen. Celtic could go on and win them all, but it's like every weekend's got to be a knife edge. It's got to be nervous. So, you know, I mean, it can be both. Though it can be some of the Celtic fans obviously have got an narrative, and also the media have got an narrative. It's not like one or the other. I think there is a lot of the media pushing Phil Clement and all that stuff and what he's saying. I mean, I listen to what he says, and for me, he looks as if he's been watching videos of Ange whenever he's talking in the media, because he's saying the same things. Well, I want my team to never stop, as if it's like revolutionary stuff he's saying. But it's obviously what we were hearing from Ange. But look, definitely made them better, made them more of a team. Celtic are eking out wins now, but that can change to be the other way about. So when it gets to the last six, the top six, if we're still level, every weekend's going to be like 3-2 wins and all that.
What I think is at least worth considering, Cammy, because you'll remember you were at Rangers under Mark Warburton, weren't you?
Yep.
He was a big one for this. He always used, I think it's maybe interesting when guys come up with a kind of fresh pair of eyes, not always involved in our madness. And he, what was it he used to always say? He's found quickly there had to be a good cop and a bad cop in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. They can't both get praised at the same time. Mark Warburton used to always say it, stuck in my head. Brendan Rodgers is saying it today. That I think there is a bit of that, isn't there? There was this rare time a couple of seasons ago, Ange was flying for Celtic and Giovanni van Bronckhorst had Rangers in a European final. I'm like, what's going on here? Both sides are getting positive feedback at the same time. This will not do.
Yeah. And again, it is that, I think, from the media's point of view, that they're always looking for that little bit of criticism. They're looking for somebody to slip up because it makes the stories. That's what it's all about. The two of them are giants of football in Scotland, so we're looking for one to be ahead of the other and somebody not to be having as good a time in it as the other. So I think it has always been like that, and I do I believe that Celtic at the moment, they're going through a sticky patch. They're still getting results, so that's the main thing. They're still winning games of football, but they're not playing well. And I think also what Celtic fans are seeing on the other side of the city is that Rangers have got a lot of momentum. They're playing well. They're creating a number of opportunities, whereas Celtic look a little bit laboured at the moment in their performances. Listen, they're getting results, so they need to keep doing that to get confidence back in the team. For me, the Celtic team doesn't look that confident at the moment, and I agree with you that I see Rangers winning on Sunday, but I'm unsure about Celtic
tomorrow.
Did
you hear that? Did you hear that?
Very quickly,
I agree
though,
with
no,
you.
The one thing I wanted to pick him up on, you and I can team up on him here, is just to remind him, he is the media now.
Gordon DL.
Okay.
Gordon DL said it during
you
the week as well.
Are about, oh, the media.
Media.
You are the media.
If you... Mr. Teleman, Mr.
Exactly.
Radio Man. You've got
He's
more,
everywhere.
Got more media outlets than Rupert Murdoch. If you come in here and accept no wages for this, you're out of
you
the
get
media.
Paid for this.
But if you get paid,
very much.
You're in the media, mate.
Thank you to David on the line. What about the Kilmarnock side of things? Simon is a big Kilmarnock fan, quite often phones us when there's a big game. You've got your predictions bang on this season, Simon, for a lot of them. Are you as confident at Celtic Park as you would be at Rugby Park? Oh no, sound of silence will never do on radio, let me tell you. What's happening, Simon? I'm waiting with bated breath here. Have we got an issue with Simon? All right, let's see. Let's try and clear. I think they just turn them off and back on again, sort of thing. Yeah. Simon, you got us now?
Yes, sorry, I'm on a train. I'm on a train to God's country, Motherwell, so the signal's a wee bit.
What does a man from Kilmarnock do on a Friday night in Motherwell? I don't know if there's much. You're not going to visit Gordon DL, are you?
No, my best pal lives up here, so we're going there before the game tomorrow.
Brilliant.
So.
What a part of the world it is. What are you thinking then? As confident going to Celtic Park as you would be at home, or how does that impact things?
Yeah, I'm confident. Obviously, I'll caveat everything I say by the fact that if Celtic play well and Kilmarnock play well, Celtic should win the game. But that's obviously to be understood. But yeah, I think Celtic are playing with a nervousness in the way Celtic play. And that's transmitted all the way through the stands. So they're not playing with momentum. I think Rangers are. I'd said at the start of the season to Hugh that I don't fear either this Rangers Celtic team. I don't think anyone in Scotland should either. And I'm not going to change my mind going tomorrow. You know, I think we've got a really good chance of maybe just taking a draw.
I think, you know, both can be true at the same time. Brendan Rodgers can be right. Maybe people are overlooking Celtic's points return in the last nine games because there's very little wrong with it. But maybe at the same time, Simon can be right. That has that fear factor gone a little bit? Maybe even from... Well, Kilmarnock have had their joy against both. Has the fear factor gone a bit?
When Celtic lost to Kilmarnock, on both occasions, they looked seriously short. I read Dennett McInnes this morning talking about having to sell the idea of beating Celtic at Celtic Park to his players. And I wonder if there's a kind of reverse psychology there because he's done it twice and admittedly on his own synthetic pitch at Rugby Park. But they have players. Celtic, until such times as Carter Vickers gets back, the back four is being made up on a game-by-game basis. I assume that Greg Taylor will come back tomorrow and he'll be very welcome from the perspective of the Celtic supporters. But Kilmarnock have the players who can upset the back four.
There are no secrets. We know why. We could spend all night. The surface, the size, all the stuff. But how much harder is it to do it at Celtic Park ultimately? Because Hugh's right to reference the two previous games, but they were both at Rugby Park. How different? You've been there.
Yeah, and I've managed to actually get a victory there for Kilmarnock many years ago. It is very, very difficult. But again, you've got to take into circumstances that the way that Celtic are at the moment, they are very, I agree with Simon, they're very nervous and that generates from the stands. So if Kilmarnock can get their game plan right and keep them quiet for the first 20-30 minutes, maybe create a couple opportunities themselves, that nervousness will start to feed onto the players on the pitch and that's where it can go all wrong for Celtic. So, and listen, let's not do a disservice to Kilmarnock this season. They've been brilliant. Flying, They've been absolutely flying. Probably one of the strongest squads I've seen Kilmarnock put together. Going forward, the players they've got going forward, and that'll be a worry for Brendan Rodgers. Celtic have conceded a number of goals at Celtic Park this season. The Kilmarnock players going forward. You've got Marley Watkins, Vassell, you've got obviously Van Veen now, Matty Kennedy, Danny Armstrong, a number of players that can hurt Celtic tomorrow.
Going back, I think, to 2018, Simon, you'll definitely correct me. Last time you took points at Celtic Park, why is this different? Why more confidence this time?
Well, the last time I saw them win was 2012. Killian Sheridan rounded Deffy Ambrose.
That was me. I was in there, Simon.
Right. You mentioned it once.
And Liam Kelly scored the penalty. That's the last time I've been there, and I can't imagine how much money I've spent going to Celtic Park and not getting any results. But yeah, I'm confident with it because I think the Celtic defence is rotten, to be honest with you. Dermody, if he plays, and obviously Ralston at right back, he, you know, we gave Celtic's first choice full backs, Greg Taylor and Johnston, an absolutely torrid time at Rugby Park both games. We've got Marley Watkins, Kyle Vassell, nobody likes playing against them. You've got Van Veen probably coming off the bench. You've got, as you said there, Greg Stewart as well, who's a technically superb footballer. But I just want to pick up the fans, and I know this probably won't be a popular opinion, but I keep hearing on your phone and saying, it's great for Scottish footballers, this title race. I think if you go to any football stadium out with Ibrox or Celtic Park this weekend, speak to any supporter, they don't care. A one-horse race is the same as a two-horse race if your horse falls at the first hurdle. You know, I'm not going into this game tomorrow with any thought about what this will do to the title race, because in reality, Celtic are going to have to come to Rugby Park after the split if we make it. Rangers are coming there in a week's time. You know, I just want to ruin all their days, so I don't actually care which one wins the title at the end of it. But I think it'll be a close game tomorrow. I think I'm not sure about how we approach it because of Celtic's defence being so dodgy. Do you go and put those two wingers, Kennedy and Danny Armstrong, have two forwards, you know, just go for it, try and attack them, or do you sit solid at the back, try and frustrate the crowd and then, you know, hit them later in the game with guys like Van Veen and Stewart? So I think it's going to be really interesting. As I said earlier, I'll caveat it by, if Celtic play well, they should win the game. But I think the disrespect from some Celtic supporters, like the guy the other night that said that he thinks Celtic are going to win 5-0. I mean, it might happen. I might seem stupid after that if it does, but, you know, I just think you need to be a bit more respectful to the fourth best team in the country and one who's already beat you twice.
Thank you, Simon. Enjoy your night in Motherwell. It's 01419511025. And if you call us right now, there's a good chance we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are in the building waiting for you to get in touch. So 01419511025 if you fancy it. As it's been all week, it's very much focusing around the title race. I wonder at what moments we break away from that this season, because it looks like it's here to stay. Or maybe we'll see a swing one way or the other very soon. We had the Celtic perspective from a couple of fans before the break. What about Richard? Richard's a Rangers fan on the line. How are you feeling about it all?
Yeah, very positive. Yeah, very positive about the title race. And I'll shock you with what I'm about to say. I'm a Rangers fan. However, I very strongly believe and agree with what Brendan Rodgers said during his press conference. Why as a nation, we can't accept a fantastic opportunity to observe a title race between two fantastic teams is beyond me. We have been starved of such a thing for so long. And yet, at this point in time, it's a case of, well, they won't win the league, we'll actually lose it. It's just an immature, and I can't get my head around it, why we can't just enjoy two teams going at it and giving everything that they've got.
I certainly agree with that middle part there. I've seen this a lot on this occasion at Celtic fans, but if the shoe was another foot, it would be Rangers fans saying, yeah. I mean, they've not cut the gap, we've thrown it away sort of thing. Well, they need to win at the same time as you're not. So I get what Richard means. We're kind of uneasy with parts of it.
Richard's looking for a world that doesn't exist. If you live in this city or its environs, go back to the day that Aberdeen won at Ibrox, and the crowd, those who stayed to boo and heckle Michael Beale and the players. And when Celtic have a 1-0 win at home against Ross County, they get booed off the park. You cannot reinvent the city. You cannot reinvent the west of Scotland. The rivalry is intense.
I don't think Richard's suggesting you don't criticise bad results, though. I think you say when it's here the way it is,
embrace it.
Try and embrace parts of it.
It's not possible.
Neck and neck.
It's simply not possible because it means so much to the Celtic fans and the Rangers fans. They can't embrace this as a spectacle. They genuinely can't.
Richard can. What do you think, Richard? Well,
there's always one, as they say.
Yeah, I certainly can. Yeah, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I've been on before. I've told you about friends leaving WhatsApp groups and not talking to each other. I'm enjoying this full roller coaster of emotions, and it's swung both ways, as I'm sure you can imagine. I've spat the dummy a few times, but it's fantastic because it gives both sides of the Old Firm the opportunity to stick it into the other one and give them a bit back, and it's a two-horse race, and that's the aspect that I think we should be enjoying. It's not one team running away with it and the others getting left behind. I mean, it destroys friend groups, but this is fantastic what we're seeing at the
sounds
moment.
Sounds brilliant.
Why do you think there are no Rangers fans inside Celtic Park and no Celtic fans inside Ibrox?
Let the Richard. Man have a bit of enjoyment. I know you prefer to be gloomy like your entire life, but
I applaud him for being this unique figure in the city who is enjoying this, and presumably, if Celtic win it on the final day of the season, he will applaud Celtic because he's a man
no,
who is...
No, that's not what he's saying.
He's a man who's thing. Generous of spirit.
You're doing that thing where you put words in people's mouth. Richard, what percentage would you put on it for your team? I mean, someone else just described it as 50-50, which is understandable if you were to look at the league table. Put a percentage on your confidence if you could...
I think I'll go 70% to 30%. I'd say, you know, I've got a very strong bet. I've got Rangers on for the treble against my pal Aldo. It's £200 I stand to win. He lost it near enough immediately. We went £100 to the league winner. Double it if we win the treble, and Celtic threw that right out the window for him. So I'm very confident that Rangers will win the treble, never mind the league.
Everybody knows I'm now going to encourage you all to gamble responsibly and make your own assessment as to whether Richard and Aldo have done that. But 70-30 is a bit more than I was expecting. I expected him to favour Rangers. I thought he was going to go a nice 60-40, but there we are, he's confident.
Fairly confident, yeah. And at this moment in time, I think Rangers fans certainly will be confident from what they've seen and the turnaround that's happened. Obviously, again, Celtic are still winning games of football, but not convincingly, and that's probably getting the Rangers fans' optimism up a little bit. But yeah, I think it's going to be really close. I genuinely think it'll go right down to the wire. The Old Firm games are going to be so important going into towards the end of the season. And listen, I agree, like let's embrace it. Let's enjoy this journey that we're going to be on between now and the end of the season, because it's going to be a good ride to be on and good to watch, certainly from a distance. I genuinely think this could go right to the wire.
Well, you're a member of the media, of course, so you're not allowed to embrace it. You're allowed to report on it.
Does this Rangers team still have more you think it needs to give, though? Richard, I wonder how many gears are left, or do you think it still needs to go up a notch to secure that title?
We're working our way up. We're working our way through the gears, nice and steady. And I think you'll see an extremely strong finish to this season. Rangers are well and truly on the up. And, I mean, I've come on here and talked about Dessers, saying that Pep Guardiola couldn't get him playing. Look at him now. Look at our finish midweek. Fantastic. And Rangers are slowly but surely working their way through the gears. And as I said, you'll see a strong finish.
What,
the Rangers winning.
What were you embracing when you slandered Dessers earlier in the season then?
Listen, did you watch some of the performances from you? I was quite right to slander him. Yeah, but, I would have rather my sister was up front for Rangers at that point.
But you're supposed to embrace this and take people at face value and accept that he will get better as time goes on.
Richard, it's now about 10. It's 10 solid minutes that he's misunderstood your point for. So I think we'll go our separate ways. I like your positivity. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. He says it's a bit early for him to be obsessing over goal difference. However, he wants his team to try and rack up as many goals as possible.
Not until the last game about goal difference and things like that, because I ask my players every game to score as many goals as possible. There's no difference there. It's not that we score 3 goals and I say, oh, guys, now it's enough. No, I push them from the first day. I want them to be ambitious until from the first second until the last second to take the maximum out of every game. So there's no difference in approach now than it was 4 months ago. because I always want to take the best out of the game and the most out of the game. Every time I want to see a team like that.
What about Lorraine, who's a Rangers fan on the line? How are you, Lorraine?
Aye, not bad, thanks. How are you doing, guys?
Good, all good in here. What are you thinking tonight?
So, first and foremost, I just have to give a shout-out to my guy Dessers, obviously getting the double the other night. I was super proud of him. He still gets it tight, but I'm always happy when he gets a goal or two.
You sound like a proud auntie, Lorraine.
Listen, I love the guy. I've told you this before. I love him, and I'm super proud that he managed to get his couple of goals.
Let me ask Cammy, but in his professional, where is he now, Cammy? Because I was like fascinated by watching the reaction in real time the other night, where Rangers fans were sort of loving him 1 minute and slaughtering him the next, and then he scores again. And for some, it's as Hugh says earlier, they scored two, give the guy a break. But for others, it's aye, but he should have scored five. And where is he in your mind?
Listen, he's a far better player than he was 3-4 months ago. I think the manager's got him confident. I also think the manager's playing to his strengths and making sure that he's playing to his strengths. He's scoring goals. That's what Rangers want their number nine to do, is score goals. I just think that he's maybe not the number nine that all Rangers fans look at and think. He's definitely not the finished article. He takes a number of opportunities to score them goals, and that's probably the problem and the frustration from the Rangers fans over previous years. They've had strikers up there that if they get four chances, three of them are hitting the back of the net, whereas Dessers for me is a little bit more. He's taken sort of 6-7 good chances to get his two goals. But yes, listen, he's an improved player. He's playing with confidence, and he's an important player for Rangers going forward. Absolutely, can have a big part to play in what they get out this season.
Some Rangers fans, Lorraine, have that little niggle. They've been phoning this week and saying, not sure if it enough. Did we need another striker? Can he fire Rangers to the title? I'm going to guess you think he can.
Listen, see, to be fair, the only option we have is Dessers is the kind of number nine. I personally don't think Silva is an out-and-out nine, so do you know what? Whether they think it or not, they have to just suck it up and get behind them.
I think, you know, 10 goals in the league. I mean, give the guy a break, you know, and not you, Lorraine, because you're a fan, but...
Could have been 15. That's just the mindset. Yeah. You're the one that said it, you know, people demand more.
I think it's how he started as well, his career at Rangers, and everyone remembers the start of your career at a club, so that played a big part in a lot of the Rangers' mindset, fans' mindset.
Yeah, but... He's persevered, and I think it takes a lot of mental strength to persevere under those circumstances. Lorraine?
100% agree with you. I think the jeers and stuff that he used to get at the start of the season when he was coming off and things, and for him to have got his head down, he worked hard. Obviously, whatever Big Phil's done in the background's worked an absolute treat, and he's now kind of sticking it to them. So
we'll see what happens this weekend. Thank you very much to Lorraine. Back. Let me tell you about this before we go any further. After 2 days of rollovers, we got a right answer on today's Make Me a Winner call. It was Alpa who picked up within five rings. She said, "Make me a winner," and now £130,000 richer. That's a good Friday, that, isn't it?
Dear me.
She's going to book a holiday to Australia, treat her husband Ritan and her cat Cookie. What would you buy a cat with 130 grand?
Food.
That's quite an extravagant gesture out there. But anyway, she said she wants to take Hugh, this sounds right up your street, take some courses in baking bread, apparently.
Oh,
if you strike me as like a bread man, a very you've got a very simple diet. Think of the cold beans that you could.
No, I don't like bread.
Oh, come on. What do you mean you don't like bread?
It's fattening.
Is that a concern for you, is it?
Yeah.
You're trying to get your beach body ready for the summer.
Yeah, I'm trying to embrace this championship race that's going on.
He doesn't like chocolate, doesn't like bread.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll have a word with him during the break. On Monday, it could be you making the decision what to spend that money on, because £132,000 goes up for grabs. If you want to enter, and why wouldn't you, text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. Over 18s only. All the other rules for this network competition are online, and if you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday, this is the important bit. Answer within five rings. Say, "Make me a winner," straight away, and if you do that, you'll be £132,000 richer. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are looking forward to a bumper weekend of Scottish football action, and I feel like more than most, Cammy, of all our pundits, you're like our championship correspondent. Actually starts tonight. What a fixture we've got in store. Top of the table clash, Raith Rovers against Dundee United.
Yeah, it's a huge game tonight, especially because we're coming towards the close of the season, and Raith Rovers have had a brilliant season, started really, really strongly. They have stuttered in recent weeks, and probably last sort of 6 weeks. But it's an opportunity for them tonight. It's an opportunity for them to close the gap and put the pressure on Dundee United. Dundee United had probably, before the season started, we all expected them to run away with the league, the budget they had, the players they had. But Raith Rovers have run them very, very close. So it's a big game for them tonight, a big, big game for Raith.
Huge crowd as well expected.
Yeah, United have sold out the away end. If Raith win, there's 1 point in it between them. On the other hand, if Raith lose, then United are on their way to the title.
Think Gordon Dale will go up?
Not a hope in Hades.
I think you might be right. From Kirkcaldy to Bilbao, there's a transition you don't make too often. Dennis is on the line in Bilbao. How's it going, Dennis?
It's going fine, Gordon. How are you, mate?
All good here. All good. What made you call this evening?
Actually, I was listening to the previous Rangers supporter who was on, saying about he was enjoying the title race and having a little bit of a debate with you, which is, you know, what happens on the programme. And just thought I'd call in and say, well, he's absolutely right. The guy's absolutely right. I'm loving the title race.
Is this because, you know, I know what Hugh's going to say, I'll just save him the hassle. That's because you're in Bilbao, Dennis. You're not involved in the day-to-day madness. Is that playing a part?
No, it's playing a big part. I mean, I've been away for about 30 years, and before I went away, I was 100% behind Celtic, the way Hugh was describing so eloquently earlier on. I just things have changed since we moved away, and we also have this WhatsApp group of friends who are expats and stuff, and there's a load of Celtic supporters and a few Rangers supporters involved, and it's just become a different animal altogether. And we're thoroughly enjoying the fact that it is a head-to-head. It's going to go down to the wire, and every game is really, really exciting. And I think I commend the guy for coming on and giving his point of view, because I totally agree with him.
Dennis, I respect your right to feel that way while you live in the Basque region. But back here in the dear green place, there are people who will be physically unwell if their team lose this title race. There will be people who will be unable to attend their places of work if their team loses this title race. There are people who will have domestic disputes if their team fails to win this title race. This, for the rank and file in this city and in the west of Scotland in general, this means everything. Absolutely everything. It means the world to them. And as I say, you've been 30 years there in Bilbao. I've been there. Lovely. I envy you. But back here, this is a matter of life or death.
Ah, but it's not. Even though it kind of is. I'm not going to back him up too much, Dennis, because I'd feel dirty doing that. But how much... Let me just explore it further. How can you truly enjoy being 7 points clear and now not being any points clear? Where's the enjoyment in that bit?
In that bit, there is zero enjoyment, Gordon. Nothing. Right. Because let's face it, the WhatsApps have been getting toxic over the last couple of weeks. Well, the last couple of weeks, no. The Kilmarnock and the Hearts defeats. And the Aberdeen draw, obviously. But I just think that the momentum's with Rangers. I understand that Rangers are on a push. But I also think that Celtic haven't been playing as well as they could. And Rangers have been playing as well as they could. I think Celtic have a lot more to improve. I think when Carter Vickie comes back and Hatate comes back, Celtic will push on. I also think that Celtic have experience of over this sort of area of the title race many, many, many times, whereas the Rangers boys don't. So I still think it's advantage Celtic. But, you know, at the end of the day, I agree with what Hugh says. When you're in Glasgow, it's the be-all and end-all. But at the end of the day, I mean, let's face it, it's a game of football, and you know, if that's what rocks your boat, then fair enough. I mean, there's a lot more to life than that, mate.
I think that's where regardless of what city you live in, that's where the hope from Celtic fans is likely to come from, it feels like, Cammy. I don't really like generalising and suggesting everybody feels the same, but I don't think the belief that they have a strong squad has been eroded for too many. Mm-hmm. I think obviously you would look at obvious factors like having done it before. Guys like Callum McGregor's won loads. Even the relative newcomers like Matt O'Reilly have come in and won a when Matt O'Reilly came in the January, it was tight.
Yeah,
it was tight. I know we're acting like it's the first time it's ever been tight, but it was, got over the line. Obviously everything that was achieved last season, that guarantees you nothing, but you can see why people would look at it as a potential title winning factor.
Listen, there's still a lot of positives from the Celtic point of view. I think Dennis mentioned a few that they haven't been playing well. They haven't been playing well. They can't get away from that, but they've still been winning. So it's obviously, it's a bigger problem if they're not playing well and they're losing games. At this moment in time, I would imagine that they're going to start to click together once they start to get one or two bodies back, their strongest team, they start to build a bit more confidence within themselves, then they will get better. I don't agree with Dennis saying that Rangers are at the best that they are. I think they'll get better throughout the season. I really do. I think the manager's still building a lot on that there. But I also believe Celtic will start playing better soon as well. And you're right enough to point out, Gordon, that they've got winners within the side. They've got guys that have been there and done it, Celtic, on a number of occasions. So that'll give a lot of belief to the fans.
I love this programme.
Well, I know you do.
The view from Catalunya is that we should embrace it. I want to hear the view now from the Calton.
You never know, maybe some pragmatic types out there as well.
Oh, yes, they are.
You want to just look at the... So what are the plans, Dennis? You managed to keep up with the Celtic games from over there? Are you an avid follower? Do you dip in and out when you've got other things on?
We have a Celtic supporters club here in Bilbao, but it's not Catalunya, it's the Basque Country.
I know, I was going to pick him up on that, but I knew you would, Dennis.
Yeah, we do. We have a Celtic supporters club in Bilbao and we watch every single game if possible.
There we go. Well, the guys will be at it tomorrow, I'm sure. Thank you very much to Dennis Bilbao. What do we have, a call from Saskatchewan? Last night, heard them. Honestly, we're just you lot are worldwide celebrities, or something like that, or people feel so strongly about the nonsense that you talk, they will phone from far flung corners of the globe. But it's set up for a good weekend. I think we can agree on that.
Oh yeah,
brilliant! I can't wait. Actually, some great games tomorrow. It's, as I say, Aberdeen v Hibs, but Celtic and Kilmarnock, I'm sure that'll be a cracker as well.
What about Motherwell midweek? Three goals up. I had to text him at three up and said, mind you don't crash your car.
I think he would have been a little bit excited at that point.
Yeah,
it wasn't ideal. Just trying to move on, to be honest. Anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You want to hear about a footballing disaster? You want to hear about a footballing catastrophe? It's been right here on Beat the Pundit this week. Not only did Kenny Miller, Marvin Bartley and Mark Wilson win, they all got the 10. The thing that usually eludes all the pundits when they get all their questions right in the time, we then give them the chance to go for the 10. It very rarely happens, and those three dafties have done it in the same week. It has broken my heart. So if we can please finish the week on a high with a listener victory, easy for me to say, 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are waiting for you to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight then? Are you all about the title race like many people are? You got something a bit left field for us? Whatever it is, I'll take it all. 0141 951 1025. Big games across the divisions this weekend. We've been hearing from Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement, and plenty more to come as we build up to the weekend's games. So let's play this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I said it already, a disastrous week. Three tens already for the pundits, which never really happens in a season, never mind in a week. Kenny, Marvin and Mark, no surprise to hear that Gordon DL did lose on Tuesday. Uh-huh. So it's not going to be a clean sweep for the pundits. How does it feel? Does your achievement feel diminished because you dined out on the fact that you got a 10 previously? Now everyone's doing it.
it's a tainted trophy now. I thank the man very much for sending me the mug for my perfect 10, but when someone who thinks that Queen of the South's nickname is QOS gets a 10, the whole award has been tainted now.
And Marvin Bartley got a 0 recently, but somehow came back with a 10. At least I actually bumped into him in the gym this afternoon, and I didn't dare bring this up because this, you know what he's like, he takes life very seriously. He's come off social media. Someone at Clyde One Super Scoreboard Tower tweeted to mention all the pundits that got a 10 this week, but didn't include him. Just forgot about it. And I thought, if I know one person, that'll annoy.
You see, when Kenny Miller got it on Monday, that's fine, because Kenny Miller's I know all, basically. But at least I could text you and say, I did it first. But then Big Marv gets it, and I'm thinking, what? And then when the mushroom gets it, I thought,
it's buzz bust, as they say. Anyway, Jordan and Dylan are on the line. How's it going, Jordan and Dylan?
How's it going, all right?
What's the story? Because it says here you're somewhere between Aberdeen and White Inch. Very specific. What's happening? Oh no, they're at that bit in the road that's got no signal. This is going to be good fun for Beat the Pundit, isn't it? I'm not going to hear any of their answers. Seems like a good idea.
This could work in our favour here.
Yeah,
I mean, I like the story, sounds good. They're boring long journey thinking, I know what we'll do, we'll take part and Beat the Pundit. Not if your phone signal. Right, let's try again. Jordan and Dylan, can you hear me?
Aye.
Good stuff. Have you got your radio on in the background? No,
it's coming through the car.
That'll be it, no worries. Right, okay, what we'll do is we'll toss the coin. If it's heads, you take on Hugh, and if it's tails, it'll be Cammy Bell. And it is tails, Cammy Bell. 2-1 though. Better sharpen up here. So let's give Cammy some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. We're going to put 30 seconds on the clock, Jordan and Dylan, and it's pretty straightforward. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
All right.
Brilliant. Your 30 seconds starts now. Who's the current manager of Hamilton Accies?
Pass.
Which team is Sam Lammers on loan at? What's the name of Yscol Bride's home ground?
K-Park.
Name any player that's been sent off for Rangers this season.
Golson.
Where does Fraser Forster currently play?
Tottenham.
Alan Combe, Ian Durant and Chris Boyd are connected by which club?
Rangers.
How many points currently separate Raith and Dundee United at the top of the Championship?
5 points.
Okay, let's bring back Cammy Bell. Cammy, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, 30 seconds. Same set of questions.
Okay.
Your time starts now. Who is the current manager of Hamilton Accies?
John Ranker.
Which team is Sam Lammers on loan at?
Pass.
What is the name of Eastcliff Bride's home ground?
Recreation Park?
No. Name any player that's been sent off for Rangers this season.
Cifuentes.
Where does Fraser Forster currently play?
Southampton.
Alan Combe, Ian Durant and Chris Boyd are connected by which club?
Come on, look.
How many points currently separate Raith and Dundee United?
4.
And what road runs between Dens Park and Tannadice in Dundee? How's your knowledge?
Dens Road.
Oh.
You'll see why that's a funny answer in a minute.
Okay.
Jordan and Dylan, do you think?
I don't know. I think it might have done
it
just at the end
there. I was like back and forward. I could barely keep up. I genuinely can't, off the top of my head, think who won. Let's find out. Hamilton Accies manager, I knew that was right up your street, John Rankin. 1-0. However, the guys equalised straight away. You tricked Sam Lammers. The guys then go in front, K Park in Yscol Bride. See, you're from miles away. I don't expect you to know that. So 2-1 to the guys. Name any player that's been sent off for Rangers. Scott Wright, Dujon Sterling, Cifuentes or Balogun. Jordan Dillon went Goldson. So that's an equaliser for Cammy Bell. Where does Fraser Forster play? Spurs. The guys got it. They go one in front. End to end stuff.
Really
evens. Alan Combe, Ian Durant and Chris Boyd are connected by Kilmarnock. Another equaliser, Cammy Bell. So we are level heading in to this question. How many points currently separate Raith and Dundee United? I'm afraid to tell you, Jordan Dillon, you were close. You said 5. It is 4, and Cammy Bell nicks it. Devastated. Hard lines, guys.
We'll be back again.
I hope you surely hold your heads high after that. That was not bad at all.
And they've
gone. Just
hung up. Mainly John.
Dylan, you need to pull your weight more next time.
Well,
take care, guys. All the best.
Right,
here we are.
I think I gave that to Cammy Bell. I mentioned earlier on.
You did.
4 points between
did
them.
Oh, yeah, man. The road right, that runs on. Between Dens Park and Tannadice.
Tannadice Street.
It's Tannadice Street. You went Dens. Dens. What did you say?
Dens Road.
Road.
Is there a Dens Road?
There is a Dens Road.
Is there?
Yeah.
I should know that.
At the back of.
Is that the one that goes down the hill? No.
Yeah, at the back of Dens Park. Yeah.
That's
Dens
yep,
Road.
Yep. Anyway. I was close. I won anyway, so no matter.
I've no idea what this. There's Alonso was breaking Marvin's heart here. There's every chance this is true. Alonso says, by the way, Marvin didn't get a 10. He got the last question wrong. I listened on the way to Ibrox on Wednesday. I wanted him to do it, but he only got a 9. I think, I'm not sure. I think he did get it right.
I'd like that confirmed.
Yeah. What was the last question?
I wonder what his reaction was.
No, he did. He did, because I think we had to clear up. There was a steward's inquiry about which former Scotland captain played with a certain player at Coventry, and the answer we had was Gary McAllister, but Marvin produced Stephen Presley, then went out of his way to prove that Stephen Presley had on an occasion captained Scotland and played with this guy. So we gave him it. I think that's fair.
Nah.
No, taking it away from him.
He'd never shut up unless you give it to me.
It's only the answer on the sheet, surely.
Oh, you should have heard them, honestly.
Oh yeah,
whooping and shouting and laughing down that mic. It was,
well, somebody phoned in to complain about the
noise.
Yeah,
he was making too much noise, actually. just so get your calls in on 01419511025, whatever you've got for us, title race or something else entirely. You can tweet as well, Moan the Jags. How's it going, boys? I'm watching online. Hello, Moan the Jags. Headed over from Skye to Inverness this afternoon for the Jags v Cali game tomorrow. Can't wait. Hope Doolan can get us a win after last week's result. Hopefully better than Cammy's last result for us there. What does that mean?
Probably got beat, obviously.
He played for so many clubs you can't even remember.
I honestly can't remember.
You can't remember going to Inverness with Partick Thistle.
And that's no disrespect to Partick. I can't remember many games, to be perfectly honest.
What?
Honestly.
Gonna have to look this up.
Must have been a defeat.
It certainly sounds like it. If his tone of that tweet is anything to go by. Keep your thoughts coming over to the guys, whether it is Twitter or whether it is on the phones. The traditional way, that's the way we like it. Get in touch with Hugh Keevans. How else would you rather spend your Friday night? Stephen is a Rangers fan. Stephen, it has been back and forward all week on this title race, and it just ignites itself again this weekend. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I mean, Rangers have been kind of resurgent under Clement. And you know, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing, and I'm enjoying the results that they're getting. But kind of my point was, I hear a lot of folks saying that, you know, Celtic aren't playing well, but they're grinding out results, and it's kind of like, well, how well are Rangers actually playing? There's no denying the fact that Rangers are playing better now than they were under Beale, but have Rangers hit top form? You know, that's what I'd like to kind of put to Hugh and Cammy.
I think the one thing you can say again in favour of Philippe Clement is that he inherited players who had been written off by the Rangers fans. They'd been brought in by Michael Beale, but they had been unimpressive. Michael Beale got the sack, and Philippe Clement came in and made them better. Not fantastic, not out of this world, but he made them better, with the exception of Sam Lammers, who he allowed to go, as we've just heard, and beat the pundit to Utrecht. So you have to give the manager credit for that much. I don't think that Celtic or Rangers are outstanding teams. An earlier caller described them as two fantastic teams. No, they're not. There have been far better Celtic and Rangers teams in recent years. But Clement, the cliche is he's getting a tune out of them, and it's true. With the exception of Lammers, they're all better than they were under Michael Beale, and that's the difference.
What's your own take on it, Stephen? For many people, in the end, it doesn't actually matter too much. As long as you're better than the other team in the city, that'll work out at the end of the season. How good is this Rangers team? How do you feel they're playing in isolation?
I would say that there's been a seismic improvement since Clement arrived. And, you know, they're not putting teams to the sword yet, but some of the games that they've played recently, the amount of chances that they're creating, the speed in which they're getting the ball forward, the intensity that they're playing at is night and day. You know, people use the phrase identity, and I think you can see something growing now. Yeah, they've been, you know, caught napping at the back with a couple of goals of late. But again, you know, a lot of folk would say the goal the other night was a very good goal by Ross County. You know, the ball over the top, Aberdeen, you'd maybe say Goldson fell asleep a little bit. But I think, I'd probably say with a lot of Rangers support right now, yeah, there's a nervousness, but there's a quiet confidence that they're trending in the right direction. Celtic seem to be kind of stuttering just now, and you know, you could say that Celtic will or should improve, but you can't say that they will for certain. So it's an interesting time. I mean, I would still have Celtic as favourites, but at the same time, I think that this will go to the wire.
I'm purely out of personal intrigue. It's the first caller we've had who's labelled the other team favourites. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's Stephen lowering his own expectations so it doesn't sting, or what it is, or sometimes it can happen that way, Cammy. But what do you make of Stephen's points about where Rangers are? Not in terms of the league table,
yep,
just in terms of that, like I say, in isolation, where they are, maybe compared to what Philippe Clement would want them to be, because he said today he still thinks they've got loads of gears to go.
And I agree with him. I think they do have a number of gears to go. I think it's incredible, and it's a measure of how good a manager he is that he's got to tune out a lot of these players that Michael Beale couldn't, and they looked as if, as Hugh said, they were finished at Rangers, and he's managed to transform this team, same players, but just got them to play with an identity, got them to understand the way that he wants them to play. Under Michael Beale, looked as if they didn't understand what they were actually being asked to do. Now it's a clear instruction from the manager, and they look as if they play with a great speed, intensity, purpose. And listen, we all need to remember back when Clement came in at the start, the first 5-6 games, Rangers kind of stuttered over and got results over the line without playing too well, and there was, the fans were sort of a little bit frustrated from what they'd seen, but there was a process, and that's why I think Clement's saying, look, there's still so much more from this team to come, because the process is currently continuing.
Final word to you, Stephen.
I think I'd just say, you know, there's, was it 13 games or something like that left? It's going to be interesting. You know, this weekend, Kilmarnock going to Celtic Park. You know, there's a nervousness about their support just now. You know, more so than Rangers. I'd say that there's much more of a confidence amongst the Rangers support, because we feel that we're back in a title race when we'd written the season off 3.5-4 months ago. You know, we were probably down in the dumps, depressed, disillusioned with where the season was going. And the turnaround, you know, with the 3-2 win away at Betis, the cup final victory, you know, some of those results have been, you know, a grind. But, you know, there's a quiet confidence and an air of optimism about, you know, Ibrox just now.
Yeah, it's obvious that all home matches, and that it would be equally obvious at McDermott Park on Sunday. We haven't had a Celtic fan yet who would contradict the notion that the Rangers fans appear to be the more confident, optimistic of the two. The Celtic fans have become circumspect now, they've become a little irritated by some of the performances, and there's not the same certainty that there was when Michael Beale was there, because Celtic thought, we've got another Rangers manager here who doesn't know what he's doing, and it will be to Celtic's benefit. And then he was out, and in came, for me, the first serious manager to have faced Brendan Rodgers in both of his spells as Celtic manager. The first real challenge of a manager, because I don't believe that Brendan had that at any time, first time around at Celtic or second time.
Let's hear more from Philippe Clement. He does expect St Johnson to be up for the game to try and stop Rangers' 7-game winning run at the weekend.
It's always special, the away games, different kind of surface than at Ibrox. And teams who are super motivated to play against Rangers, because you know, the longer you have a series of games that you win, the more the opponents are hungry to break that. No, it's going to be a hard game, you know.
try and kind of repackage this in a different way, because we've been through this so many times. But Philippe Clement went into a bit of detail as well today, elaborating on the impact of a poor playing surface and what that can do at the weekend. He said, you know, in the top leagues there are really high standards now about surfaces. He name-checked St Mirren, not in an overly critical way. He said that St Mirren's own staff admitted to him that the pitch wasn't what they wanted it to be. You know, makes playing a certain type of football that bit more difficult. He did stop short. I think he was asked, though, so do you think clubs here should invest more? And he said, well, that's not my business, and all the rest of it. Does that change things significantly for Rangers at the weekend, with no disrespect to St Johnstone? Yep, I suppose yep, what yep. I'm asking, are you looking at the conditions yep. more than the St Johnstone
form? Absolutely. No, there's again, you need to battle with, when you come to Scotland, you need to battle with the pitches. Clubs don't have loads of money to spend at their disposal on pitches, and again, the weather in Scotland's poor as well. Motherwell had a fantastic pitch. It's looked to probably been weathered a lot because of what our winter we've had recently. So I think Rangers just need to navigate their way through these away games, especially when the pitches aren't great. But you need to play at the conditions. You need to get over the line. There's no excuse there. They know what they're going to face. And again, it's similar when the clubs go to Livingston and Kilmarnock. We'll always speak about these pitches. The pitches are what they are. You need to just play the game and try and win it.
You hear about it being a sort of leveller. I wonder specifically Rangers, though, are they quite well equipped in the sense they do get the ball forward yep. quite quickly anyway, don't they? I'm not saying they just boot it every time, but they're also not like ball constantly on the deck, pass. So I wonder if they're not
equipped a little bit more. Yeah, I think they do. They play a more direct pass. It's not just a boot up the pitch. It's a direct pass to get the ball forward. And that's part of their game plan. They play with that intensity. They want to play in the opposition's half. So yes, it might suit Rangers going up there a little bit better than it would Celtic. But again, both clubs need to deal with these situations, and they are difficult away games because, as the manager there, Clement, said, teams are super motivated against Celtic and Rangers. They want to break this momentum that they've got on their wins.
The pitches are poor, but I think it's your personal motivation that's important. You made reference to McDermott Park. Brendan Rodgers at half-time at McDermott Park earlier in the season said it was the angriest he'd ever been as a professional football manager. It was 1-1 and Celtic had been woeful. And in the second half, they pulled themselves together, scored two terrific goals and won the game. But at half-time, the man who had managed Liverpool, as well as Celtic, could say it was the angriest he'd ever been as a manager. Therefore, yes, the pitches can be poor, but you also have to raise your game, no matter the surface.
Good time to get your calls in. Where are the rest of you? What about Motherwell, St Mirren, Partick Thistle fans, anyone else that's got a big weekend ahead? Why don't you give us a call? Let's talk about it on 01419511025 whilst I tell you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Yeah, as part of our 50th birthday celebrations, we're going to take over the Ovo Hydro on Friday the 31st of May, and we want you to be there. Hugh Keevans is just figuring out if it is past his bedtime or not. He's waiting patiently.
Is there a bar?
To see if any of his favourite acts are on the bill. I would suggest is unlikely, but you never know. We're going to announce the first act, Hugh, so set your alarm just after 8 a.m. Wednesday, the 21st of February, on Bowie at breakfast. However, if you want to secure your tickets before then, you can get them now at Clyde1.com. And don't forget that first big announcement on Wednesday just after 8. It is Clyde 1 Live. Hugh Keevans will even be there. It's going to celebrate our first 50 years. So join us, please. Ovo Hydro, Friday the 31st of May.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Loads of time for you to call in and speak to Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell, and let them know what you're thinking ahead of a big weekend. It might be something entirely unrelated to the weekend. Whatever you fancy, pick up that phone and get in touch. Whilst you get those calls over to us, let me tell you about this question.
The a full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, where their goal is a better wardrobe, slat wall, home office or media unit.
Big thank you to Stephen in Mount Florida for sending it in. If there are still people out there who are new to the concept, this is the full-time teaser, and the aim of the game is for you to send the question in to us and then watch to see if the pundits can come up with the answers that you've set them. So it's a bit of fun between now and the end of the show, and this is a cracker that Stephen has come up with. Can you name seven players that have played for Rangers since 2000 and they've also scored against Rangers for two different top flight teams? So there are seven players that have played for Rangers since 2000 and have also scored against Rangers for two separate top flight teams. Good question, isn't
it? Good question.
Any that spring to mind?
Did Lafferty do it?
No, actually, but I can see your thinking there, Kelly and Hearts, but nope.
Brandon Barker?
Oh, no, now you're struggling. Come on, you were on a... That was at least a... understood your Kyle Lafferty shout. So you're looking for maybe men of... I was going to say many clubs, but not necessarily either.
Jamie Murphy?
Just, no, but again, I see you're thinking, okay...
Templeton?
Nope. Who's like really famously played for Rangers and famously played for teams other
Kenny
than
Miller.
Rangers? Kenny yes. Miller scored for Celtic and Dundee. For a guy that's on this show, he features a lot in the teaser. Have you noticed that? Because he's played for everybody. Celtic and Dundee, Kenny Miller is one of the answers. Any others that spring to mind? No. Okay.
It's good. The two clubs
that good, I know, it's a good question that though.
I mean, because that's the beauty of it. You've heard of everyone of those names. Yeah. Like there's actually one defender in there, I have to say. Most of them are goal scorers, one midfielder. We'll see how we get on. If you like the sound of it, if you think I like Stephen and Mount Florida's style, I could do that. I could send a question in. Please do it. Email fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Callum is in Darnley. How are you, Callum?
Going.
All good in here, apart from these two scrambling on the teaser. What are you thinking this weekend?
Well, I've got one statement and then one kind of point to make. The first one would be directly to Mr. Bell there. The crowd for the League Cup final, Celtic and Kilmarnock.
Right.
I don't think I've ever been as angry at one individual after watching Mr. Bell's goalkeeping performance that day.
Would you not like to include Gary Hooper for missing a sitter in the first 5 minutes?
That set the tone.
Yeah.
You can forget that. That wasn't important.
Oh, right. Oh, well.
Performance enhancing. I wouldn't dare to make the accusation, but it was the form of his life here that day. Coincidence or?
Just one of them games, wasn't it? You have a game of your life at some point.
That's
Calum,
the way it felt.
So,
yeah,
it was genuinely, as I say, it was one of them games you have, Calum, and it was just everything goes your way. Listen, that first save against Gary Hooper sets the tone, and it does give you confidence. So, yes, one of them days, Calum.
You were a very decent keeper in your day, and I hope this doesn't come across rude. But you played for bigger clubs than what you did.
Aye,
I wonder if that's partly true and then partly a dig at Rangers as well, because Callum's a Celtic fan, who knows. What are you thinking about the current situation? We've praised him enough, Callum. I don't like it. What are you thinking about the current group?
The back of what Mr. Hugh Keevan said earlier on, he's yet to meet a Celtic fan that refutes the feeling of the fans. He thinks that the Rangers fans are ultra confident and that there's a bit of doom and gloom, which I do agree with the doom and gloom, but I think that's from a minority of fans under a certain age. Held over the last 13, 14 years with Celtic's trophy haul. But I don't think that this Rangers team, with any manager in charge, has the capabilities. Celtic, we've seen it twice already. We've seen it many times in the past 3, 4, 5 years, bar the one season that Rangers won. Game, whether it be a League Cup final, whether it be a potential title decider, they've failed, and they've failed consistently. I don't see any other reason to think why this season will be any different.
Oh, you've gone and done a me, because Callum, if that happens and Rangers do win the league, then you were the one who said with 12 games to go for Celtic and 13 to go for Rangers, they did not have the capability. I'm really, in all seriousness, I don't think you can say that they don't have the capability. Otherwise, why are they sitting four goals away from Celtic? That's all that separates them right now.
With their performances against other teams, the two performances that they've had against Celtic this season, they've lost.
But Celtic then lost to Kilmarnock and Hearts, and that negated the good of the results against Rangers by losing to Kilmarnock at Rugby Park and to Hearts at Celtic Park.
It's very true, and I do take your point. I can't refuse that and say that it's not a good point, but we do need to look back on this season, last season, the season before, the personnel that's at Rangers were serial losers.
But season and the season before have got nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with what's going on now. You know, last season, Kyogo was scoring for fun and many other things. Hatate was a regular in the team and the team was better for it. Last season and the season before have no bearing whatsoever on what's going to happen between now and the end of the title.
I totally disagree. It doesn't have a bearing on form and personnel, but club history and recent performances and recent history does have something to do with it, especially if you've got a back four hardly beat Celtic with a free kick when they're 2-0 and 3-0 down. The game before that, it's for me, Mr. Stevens, it just doesn't. They don't look like they can beat us.
I wonder, Hugh, because the problem is you'll never be able to kind of prove it either way, but there must be something in having title-winning experience or the psychological upper hand over your rivals. I'm not saying it will count this season, but I don't think you could confidently say that it can't count or it's irrelevant. Or, you know, how would we be so sure?
Well, I would take you back to Celtic going for 10 in a row. Now, you would say that with 9 previous league title wins in a row behind them and having brought in new players at multi-million pound cost, that would work. It was an implosion and the manager was sacked before the season was over. So where did history get them then?
But again, I don't think Callum's saying history is guaranteeing you anything, but you're doing the exact opposite and saying that it's irrelevant. Why don't we meet in the middle somewhere and admit that it's possible that it plays a part?
That's why I keep going back to take this in isolation now. Once upon a time, there was a Michael Beale. Now there's not. Once upon a time, there was an 8-point lead. On the day that Celtic beat Rangers under Philippe Clement, they went 8 points clear. Now there's no points differential at all. Let's just look at it now from this moment forward until the end of the season. Tomorrow, Celtic have an awkward fixture. I'll put it no stronger than that. Celtic have an awkward fixture at Celtic Park against Kilmarnock. Now it's game by game. It's Russian roulette now. And Celtic have to survive that game tomorrow. For me, I don't think the fans care what it looks like. It could be the scruffiest win in the history of football, but Celtic need a win so that at least Rangers are under some form of pressure at McDermott Park, and that's the way it has to go now.
Yeah, I agree. I think tomorrow it's an awkward game for Celtic, but it's one they need to win. One I would expect Brendan Rodgers to be putting on a good performance. They'll want them to play better with more confidence. And again, if they get the win and play better against a good Kilmarnock team, then that should breed their confidence towards now and the end of the season. And again, you look forward at Rangers' fixtures. Rangers play Kilmarnock away in a couple of weeks' time, so very, very soon. That's a difficult fixture. I'm pretty sure Brendan Rodgers is delighted it's at home and not away because it's a much, much harder fixture away from home. So he just needs to get the 3 points and continue. It's as I said before, I think this one's going down to the wire.
And Celtic go to Hearts at some point. It's all going to be interesting. Thank you, Callum. I like Callum. Nice and polite. Called you Mr. Bell, Mr. Keevans. Can't ask for more than that on a Friday night. Any more on that teaser, quickly?
I got one.
I'll decide.
Well, you will decide because I might be wrong. Nasey.
Yes, Kilmarnock and Hearts against Rangers. Hugh, one more guess?
Not just now, thank you.
Okay, let's hear a bit more from the Celtic manager, Brendan Rodgers. He was speaking, obviously, about a number of topics today, but one that has been dominating a lot of the headlines, he admits that leaving Celtic may now be a real possibility for Lia Labada. The winger is still not in the right frame of mind to play, according to his manager, and Rodgers says he's got great empathy for him.
I'm really empathetic towards the issue that he has, and it's more than football. It's at a human level. So I have to respect that. But he's training. He's working away. But as I said to you, this period is all about the mind. And if you're not quite right or ready, then first, I can't take any risk with him, the player, because that will always support. And obviously, I have to also protect the squad as well. You know, people can talk about what's going on there and then they can forget about it. This is the reality for him. It's his life. Every single day, every night, families in a war. So it's a really, really tough situation for him. And as I said, on a human level, I have real, real empathy for him. So it's my job and we will do that. Like I've done with numbers of players before, just take the human aspect and look after him. And when he's ready, if he ever is ready, then he'll be able to give us everything.
You said if he's ever ready to play again, is that the situation? It could be that you might have to look elsewhere even for a loan to some.
Yeah, it's possibility, but we'll see. We'll work together on it.
I think it's probably wise, definitely wise, Hugh. We try and keep what's a really complex, difficult, sensitive, nuanced subject as close to being about football as we can. Impossible to keep it completely aligned. But one thing's for sure, you can almost hear it in Brendan Rodgers' voice. They don't teach you this stuff at coaching courses. I think he said this isn't on the pro licence. And it's going to be a difficult one by the sounds of it for Celtic, Brendan Rodgers, Leo Labada to negotiate.
I think it's an impossible, regrettable, deeply regrettable situation for Leo Labada, who's a young man, lives on his own in this city, and an impossible, regrettable situation for Brendan Rodgers, because we're talking about a humanitarian tragedy that is unfolding in the Middle East, and Brendan Rodgers is supposed to deal with this on a football level. How do you do that? It's impossible for Abada because his country is at war, and I am not telling that element of the Celtic support who wave flags and are with the other side in the war, I'm not telling them not to do that. They have a political conscience and that's what they are doing. But Leo Abada has a conscience as well, and he's coming under pressure, I would imagine, on a family level, on a political level. And how can he be expected not to crumble and not to have his mind on football at a time like this, when his country is at war and he is here? It could have happened to him in any country in the world, but he's here and he is in the middle of a game of political football. And I feel desperately sorry for all concerned.
Yeah, because I think there's a temptation to simplify it, because when he came on for Celtic in the stadium that day, personally to him, right there in that moment, the Celtic fans gave him a rapturous applause and a big reception, which is fine, and that's one thing. But there's going to be, I'd imagine, there's so much that we're just not going to see and we're never going to know. I have no idea what he reads or what he sees in social media, and as an extension, I've no idea whether he cares or whether it influences things. I've got no idea what people back home are saying to him. Got no idea what sort of contact he has face to face with people in the city. There's so much that we will never know about it. So we all, like I say, there's a tendency there to simplify it and try and make these big conclusions based on the limited information that we probably have.
Brendan has had to say on more than one occasion that his mind is not on football, referring to Abada. And of course that's the case. Leo Abada is the same age as two of my grandchildren. If my grandchildren were in another country and he was feeling what was going on with the conflict in his own country, then I'd be really worried about him. So, you know, Abada is entitled to feel the way that he feels. And I'm afraid for him, for Leo Abada, right now, football is unimportant.
Again, then, to contradict that and make it all about football, Cammy, you wonder if Celtic have only become aware now that it's beyond repair. Could they have moved him in January? Should they have moved him in January? What do they do now? Can they look at a loan? It's almost ashamed of myself for saying this, because much more important things than football, he's a sellable asset at the club. And how do they manage all that side of things?
Really difficult. Difficult for the club, difficult for the player. But again, I don't know how they resolve it. It possibly could have been sorted out. I'm unsure, as you say, we don't know the details of what's been going on. But it's good to hear from Brendan Rodgers saying that the club are looking after him and supporting him, because he is a human being at the end of the day. And that's one of the most important things, that they're supporting a player that, as Hugh says, he's in this country on his own. It will be a really difficult period for him. So it's great to hear that they're looking after him and trying to, as you say, football secondary at this moment in time for him, because he's got a lot going on. So it's really important that players get looked after, and I'm sure the club are trying to do that.
If you've got any thoughts, you're more than welcome to share them on 0141 951 1025. We're looking for 7 players that have played for Rangers since 2000 and scored against them for 2 separate top flight teams: Kenny Miller and Stephen Naismith.
Avro, Greg Stewart?
No.
Kevin Kyle?
No. I can see the thinking here as well, lots of you, but nope. Couple of strikers, a midfielder and a defender in there. I'll give you some thinking time and we'll hopefully get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are on the home straight in tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. If you want to get your calls in, you've still got time. You might need to be fairly quick though. We were speaking about Brendan Rodgers' comments regarding Leah Labada before the break. Let me ask you, if you've had any thinking time, or if you've used your thinking time, I should say, during the break, can you name 7 players that have played for Rangers since 2000 and have scored against Rangers for 2 different clubs? It's a great question. Kenny Miller, Stephen Naismith. Did you get any during the break?
For Dundee United and St Mirren, Stephen Thompson.
Yes, well done, Stephen Thompson.
Darren McGregor, Hibs and St Mirren.
Yeah, it's a great shout, that. Well done. Because he's a centre back, wouldn't have scored loads, but he managed all those boxes to be ticked. 3 to get.
3 to go, Hugh. Come on.
Here's the problem. It should make it easier. I reckon 2 of these are former Rangers teammates of yours.
That,
I think
that doesn't make it easier.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, okay.
I would say so. And then one's a bit, not, I mean, it's not sneaky. It's all accurate. But he was a Rangers player a long time ago within this time frame, so towards the start of the 2000s, and I reckon he only played 3-ish league games, right, for Rangers, not okay. Many.
Okay.
But he scored against them for a couple of teams, so there we go. Right, keep your calls coming in, your tweets as well, if you want, at Clyde SSB. Let's take another look, a more forensic look at tomorrow's fixtures, because of course in Glasgow in the West, we sometimes do get caught up in the top two and the title race and all that stuff. What else tickles your fancy, Hugh? Can I suggest the league's in-form team, Hearts?
Yeah,
one of them. Well, taking on Motherwell, who within the space of one game show you don't quite know what you're going to get.
Well, on the road for Motherwell, last 2 games, knocked out of the cup by Morton at Capello, and 3 up at Pittodrie. Now, I know that Neil Warnock picked the wrong team to begin with, quickly corrected his own mistake, but I still think it doesn't look good when you had a 3-goal start and didn't see it out. So I must say, I don't hold out any hope for Motherwell at Tynecastle tomorrow.
I couldn't mount a huge argument against my learned friend, because Hearts are in great form. So you could say it's got actually much more to do with Hearts than Motherwell. If you're Stuart Kettlewell, though, this is where his gloomy disposition might be challenged. You would simply have to focus on some of the positives this week. You would have to focus on obviously correcting your mistakes, but taking something from the fact that you went to Pittodrie and scored 3 goals. Otherwise, it's completely pointless.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we know Aberdeen aren't in a great place at this moment in time, but to score 3 goals away from home against any club is a good return. Probably know that Motherwell this season have conceded a number of soft goals, so you'll know you need to tighten up, especially at Tynecastle. for me, Hearts look as if they're getting stronger and stronger. I think they were winning games when they weren't really playing that well. I think they're starting to play better as well. They've got a lot of confidence. So it's going to be a difficult task, but not a task that Motherwell will be going there fearing. They'll think they can take something from the game if they play well enough.
You have to hope that the traffic from Stephen, from Shanklin's house to to Tynecastle is really poor and he misses the kickoff.
I was going to say, I think we've said enough about Mr. 25 goals in 35 appearances this season for club and country to know what sort of... I believe he bumped into our very own Gordon Dale at a popular high street fashion store this week as well. So I don't know if Gordon Dale maybe stood on his toe. The type of shop that Gordon Dale's too old to be shopping in my opinion.
I'm about
actually
to say to you, how can a man in his late 20s be shopping in the same place as a man in his early 60s?
Think about it. Begins with a Z, you know the one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I just can't see DL pulling off much of that, can you?
Rhymes with Barra.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, I like the look of the fixture anyway. You know, just on paper, when you see it, Aberdeen, Hibs, it should be, you know, two of our bigger clubs. And Nick Montgomery coming up against his old gaffer as well, and Neil Warnock.
You know, you would need to throw two sixes to have a guess at the result of this game, because Aberdeen are just wacky. And that was exemplified by what went on midweek against Motherwell. And Hibs, Cammy touched on it earlier on, that there's no impact yet, no major impact being made by Nick Montgomery in that team. And he's got to start getting a result like a defeat of Aberdeen at Pittodrie to make his early CV look good.
Yeah, I agree. I think Nick Montgomery's just kind of slid in there and he's not really done too much, to be perfectly honest. I think they've got good players still within their team and they're not getting the results. And the pressure will start to build on Nick Montgomery, because tomorrow, as I say, I think if he gets beat there, it is an uphill battle for Hibs to actually make the top six, and that's disastrous for Hibs not to make a top six spot.
If there's any hope for Livingston, surely they're going to have to win some home games at some point. In particular,
Libby,
they welcome St Mirren tomorrow. St Mirren, I mean, very different challenges, but different outcomes. You know, the big boost that Livy got, maybe coming back, winning it in dramatic fashion at Firhill. St Mirren obviously lost to Celtic.
That was a phenomenal result for Davy Martindale and the players. Two down and beat Partick Thistle. A lot of that was down to Partick and the unwise use of their substitutes. But for me, Livy are the composite picture of the relegated team. They have lost more games than anyone else. They have scored fewer goals than anyone else. They lose more goals than anybody else. Everything about them says ta-ta.
I'm annoyed because James, who's a St Mirren fan, called in and he wants to speak about the race for fourth. We've got about a minute left. I won't waste your time, James, but give us a call tomorrow or Monday. Very keen to talk to you about it. I just wouldn't want to cut you off in your prime, so I think it's probably risking it a bit. We'll get even less than that before the music starts. So thanks to James. Let's speak soon though. Please, James, give us a call back, or we'll call you back if you permit us. That's an interesting one though, Cammy. Like we said, at some point you'd imagine, if there's any inspiration from Livy, it needs to come soon anyway, regardless of where. But at home,
not. And again, they've been so strong over the years at home, made it difficult for teams to come there, get results. And listen, I have seen a little bit of fight from David Martindale's team, and he's came out fighting, because there was a lot, period of time I thought he's down and he's out, but he's came back fighting. So, but tomorrow's a big game. It's one that they'll look at, think, if they can win it, can they change this season around? It's going to be a difficult task.
And a more realistic test of Don Cowie's credentials at Dens than it would have been at Ibrox when they were very much up against it the other night.
Yeah, it's a good game that'll be as well, because I've been impressed by Dundee this season. Ross County have got a lot to prove. The players have got a lot to prove. Don Cowie will be very hungry to try and get a result and boost that.
If they get a win there tomorrow, they're only 2 points away from St Johnstone, and they've got a game in hand.
And St Johnstone play Rangers on Sunday, which rounds us off nicely. Go on then, three more. Seven players have played for Rangers since 2000 and scored against them for two separate teams: Stephen Thompson, Darren McGregor, Kenny Miller and Stephen Naismith. I reckon two of the remaining ones are teammates of yours at Rangers, Cammy. One very much a central midfielder, like defensive.
Okay.
And the other one kind of midfield come forwards. Say more of a midfielder. Right, I'll need to do the clubs.
Yep. Black.
So, yes, Ian Black, Inverness and Hearts.
Oh, I forgot he was at Inverness.
Who would be the guy that played with you and scored against Rangers for Hibs and Kilmarnock and has, as you well know, Cammy Bell, a famous footballing father in the management game? Come on. We spoke about your finest moment earlier on. Kenny Shields, anyone?
Oh,
Dean Shields.
Dean
come
Shields,
on, come on. And the last one, played for Rangers early this 2000s. You've forgotten that he played for Rangers, but he scored against them for Hearts and St Johnstone. And he might have found himself in a different role at St Johnstone fairly recently.
Callum Davidson.
The other one. After him.
McLean.
Steve McLean. Thank you. Bumper day of football tomorrow. Make sure you join us from 2 o'clock. Thank you for your company. And the GBX is up next.